for choosing this teaching from the Elijah List, a prophetic ministry to the body of Christ. For more information about the Elijah List, including how to order or download prophetic teachings by well-known prophetic speakers, the monthly magazine Elijah Rain, our first and best-selling music CD, He Reached Down, or Steve Schultz's brand new book, Can't You Talk Louder, God? Or to view the many other prophetic resources we offer, visit our website, ElijahList.com. Or call toll-free, 866-354-5245. Or outside the U.S., 541-926-3250.
Man, ain't a whole lot can be done after that. I've seen David do that for 20 years, and I can never get tired of it. Except maybe tonight. I don't. Because he usually don't do it right before I get up. Yeah. Well, but that's something right there. Well, we've had a good time, hadn't we? Man, wasn't that awesome this morning, that Chuck guy? I mean, that, you know, that I believe that feller went to school somewhere. I don't know what his deal was. Then he had to get off into error. He really got off into error when he started, you know, it was really good up until he started saying pi r square, and we know better. Pi is round just like cornbread. I was with him until he got into that, you know. Blasphemous is what that was. Thought he was a smart man, and he just goes stupid on us. I don't know. Yeah. I'm going to have to leave a lot of the front part out because I just got carried away singing, because I never do that, and I never sing any, that like that, and I just had fun, and so it. And see, this is a season that what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to get our song back. And you know, mine got lost for a bunch of years because I was in the ministry. But I'm getting my song back. You know, and sometimes you just have to have the courage to step into your new day, and sometimes courage a lot of times is just often just ignorance of the facts, you know, in some situations, and but also experience is the wisdom to recognize a mistake when you make it again. I was thinking also, like, you know, when you're looking for a reason as to why bad things happen sometimes, never rule out sheer stupidity. The last bit of wisdom I want to give you tonight is in the morning when you get up, first thing every morning, eat a live frog. Because ain't nothing worse going to happen to you all day. You just go ahead and get it over with. Now, We need to be paying attention to the lyric that God's given us as we get our song back, don't we? God's given us our song back, all of us. You know, in America, we typically just, our culture begin to, individually, we begin to lose our song in 1922. Especially in the culture I'm from. 1922 marks a year that man began to lose his song. And the reason was is because OK Records and Pure Music Group came down out of New York into the Appalachian Mountains, into our Scots-Irish culture, and started retrieving songs that had been lost 200 years. And when, and then out of that came the commercialization of music. And at the commercialization of music, most all of us lost our song because now we can just buy singing. Do you hear me? We can just buy singing now. We don't have to have the expression. We can let somebody else that has the same emotional baggage we do sing for us. And we lost our song. And our song was also lost in the church. Because we were bound to religious activities, religious restrictions, and everything's laid out in bars and signature, and it's all on a rectangular page there that gives somebody credit for it for 70 years. And all of this thing that happened started to take... And, you know, it starts all the way back with the Greek. Pythagoras started the whole thing by trying to turn music into math. And thank God for the scholarly intelligentsia of that whole crowd, and we've learned a lot from that. But I want to tell you something: you can't confine your song to a piece of paper, and you can't confine. So David said like this: Lord, you are the strength of my life; you are my song. So if He is our song, and many times God's just looking for the time to release His glory and His authority in our lives and the anointing that is upon our lives, He's just waiting for the Spirit of the Lord to rise up and the enemies of our lives that try to rob us of our song be scattered. So get your song back. We can go by professional singing. And right now, if I walk up to most of us and stuck a microphone in your face and said, let me hear your song, we would begin to shut down, wouldn't we? Because we've heard real singers. We've heard those that have become accepted in our culture as the skilled ones. And our song gets taken away. And what God wants to do is He wants to bring forth. I don't care if you got to go roll up the windows in the truck if you have to, but sing. Get your song back. Get the Word of God flowing through your being. Let every atom of your being come into agreement with what you were created for. And you were created to worship, and if you're not a worshiper of God, you forfeit the reason you exist, and you wonder why you're not walking out and fulfilling your destiny. When everything about your destiny should be a byproduct of the worship and the song that's within you, get your song back. And pay attention at this time as even the prophetic songs that we've sung for years are reignited with a fresh anointing of God upon your life. And not that this is a good example, but some of I wrote Blub Blub 30 years ago. And we all know how important that song is to the kingdom. But we gotta get our song back. Listen to the ones we've been singing. Listen to the songs that we sing in our culture. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Halal Yah. That halal, to rave, to boast, be clamorously foolish, to radiate, to shine, and act madly. That's being sung over our nation. The Kabod of God, Kabod of God, Halal Yah, Jehovah. That gets sung over our nation all the time, and we've lost the fullness of it. It's glory, glory, hallelujah. You know, we just, it's kind of like just a cultural thing. No, it's not a cultural thing. It's a lyric of a nation that needs to be alive and a people that's going to see a redemptive generation come forth. You know, remember last night I was talking about, think about this. Think about, I was talking about the sound, and we are persons. Remember that? And Jesus was the personification of God Himself. He personified Himself and brought the sound forth. And it was a redemptive sound to redeem all of humanity in worship. Listen to this. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost. That's a problem. But now I'm found. There's a resolution. I was blind. That's a problem. But now I see. Everything, whatever the situation was, when He came as the sound of the heartbeat of the Father. And He came, God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. And, science has determined that the blood that flows in our bodies is nothing more than congealed light. That's a scientific reality. Your blood is congealed light. So that's one of the reasons when one day you travel at the speed of light, or beyond the speed of light, in the twinkling of an eye, you're going to be you'll have a glorified or lightified body. You know, and we need to grasp some of the power and the authority, and understand the prophetic nature of those songs that have been sung for years and years and years, and have just become now mundane expressions of church. You know, now there's a lot of songs that we've thrown away that need to be resurrected. There's a lot of songs that we've thrown away, we need to keep them buried. All right. Like Christmas time. What other time of the year can you go? Man. Heaven and nature sing. Heaven and nature sing. In Walmart. The praise and worship of our God is being ringing out through Walmart. Of course, now some of them I don't really understand. Like, deck the halls with boughs of holly. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Tis the season to be jolly. Fa-la-la-la-la. What is a fa-la-la-la-la anyhow? And then in that other verse, dawn we now are gay apparel. Now I understand the fa-la-la-la-la. Yeah. Okay, it all makes sense now, but... But it's time for us to get our song back. Now, the season we're moving into, you know, those who have an ear to hear, you need to be paying attention to what heaven and nature are singing. Heaven and nature are singing, and the New Agers, you know, these spoonbenders are ripping us off, y'all. They're worshiping the tree instead of the creator of the tree. They're worshiping the waterfalls instead of the one who spoke it into existence and even gave it to us as a picture of the sound of heaven. You listen to waterfalls, all the frequencies in the sound spectrum and beyond. It goes off both ends of the scale, both ends of the spectrum. Far above your hearing and far below your hearing are in that waterfall. And that's also the sound that's going on in heaven, a sound of many waters. And every time that sound visits the earth, something incredible takes place. And it's the sound of many waters. See, here's the way sound works. Sound works like this. If Steve goes to the piano. Oh, hush. My goodness. Just hang on a minute. No, don't laugh. He can really play the piano. You ought to hear. You know. I heard him. He's just wearing it out over there. But if you go to the piano and he hits an A note right in the middle of the piano, what happens is 440 invisible vibrations come through the air and hit your eardrum, and your eardrum begins to vibrate at 440 times per second. Now, if you go up a note, it's more frequencies per second, and go down a note, it'll be lower frequencies per second, right? And the thing is we as human beings, we're only created to hear about 20 to 20,000 vibrations per second. Get above that, it's ultrasonic or ultrasonic, higher sound than we can hear. Now, you can blow a dog whistle, we can't hear it, but my dog said you have a fit. But we can't hear it. Right, because their hearing's different, and you know when you were conceived, did you know the very first matter that eventually became you, that very first matter that was inside your mother, is the very same muscle that became your hearing muscle. As a matter of fact, it's the very first thing that is there, and then it's the very last thing. That muscle functions until the day you die, and many people, even after they die, that the last thing to go is that you were born to hear. And And furthermore, you can how if you take a mold and put it, and you notice all of us is inside of our ear shaped a little different, and you know some of them look like a taxi cab, the door's hanging open on the thing, you know. But all of us have just a little bit of a uniqueness. If you take a mold and mold the inside of your ear and look at that mold, that will be the shape that you were at your second trimester when you were in your mother's womb. We're created to be a hearing folks. Now, speaking of hearing, are y'all hearing this bunch of people over here? Now, just want to make sure y'all ain't missing something. Okay. Now, what were y'all talking about? This invisible sound, hey, do you have... Let me show you about the sound here a little bit. Hey, Mr. Soundman, let's crank this thing back up. Turn this guitar on. I want to pick a little here. What I want you to do is I want you to make my voice very loud in that monitor. The guitar loud in the house. My voice loud in the monitor. Hallelujah. Yeah, turn this back on as if I were talking. We'll get it right here in a minute. Hallelujah. Now, I want the guitar loud. Oh, there's the monitor guy over here. Okay, I want my voice loud in the monitor, but the guitar loud in the house. Okay? And got some feedback going. You know, I used to have a sound man work for me. He didn't invent feedback, but he did make it famous. I always hear pastors say things like, you know, feedback, that'll quench the spirit. God ain't afraid of feedback. Hallelujah. Have you got the guitar in the house? Oh, can you hear? Oh. Yeah, that's a cheap guitar, my God. It was doing such a good job earlier. Hallelujah. Holy Lord. Well, never mind. It's a great illustration when it works. And I've never seen it not work. That's what I don't understand. You folks laugh this thing into not working. One. That's just feedback. Okay. All right, let's go on. We got, because I'm going to get hungry here in a few minutes and this will all be over. But my point is we are instruments of worship. And when we hear the sound of heaven and it ignites that song within us, we come into agreement with that sound. Thereby, we move in an authority in the earth. And it's sympathetic resonance, that sound, those sound waves. And listen, guys, every time the sound came from heaven, a generation changed. And there's a sound that's coming out of heaven right now that is letting us know that we are a new generation that gets the song back that has been stolen as a result of a demonic influence that has tried to rob us of our song. Get your song back. Now, you know, all of creation don't have any trouble with this. You know, in the German research group in 1999, they discovered, as they were listening, to have these microphones set all over the earth that listens to tectonic movements so they can predict earthquakes. 24 hours a day, they monitor the earth. And all of a sudden, they hear a sound coming that they didn't know was there. Oh, there's a new sound in 1999. And they hone in on this and realize that the icebergs are singing. And as the icebergs, then they single in on this, and they realize, well, here's another part and another part. And they had full chords and inversions and melody and rhythm and all this stuff going on in this iceberg singing. And also they found out that the whales are singing. and have an articulate language and a lyric to their songs. A distinct lyric. Found out that dolphins, I shared this some of this last year, but that's why I'm rushing through it. But also they found out that dolphins have a clear, articulate vocabulary. They've even named one another. And so, you know, what we used to think was Flipper doing his little deal. Well, actually, he would be saying, you know, Tim, could you go, giving an instruction, and Tim says, yes. And he said, and they call, they have each other named and have full syllables and consonants and vowels and stuff. Craziness. I mean, that's bizarre, isn't it? Or is it? Or has all of creation been created for a purpose and they're releasing the sound of their existence and they're travailing and interceding, waiting for us to get our part? See, they're interceding and crying out right now, waiting for us to fulfill what we were created for. They gotta have us. But don't pervert it with some kind of New Age stuff. They have to have us. Why do they have to have us? Because of Psalm 148. But also the elephants. Elephants, big-eared elephants. Big ears. Pachyderms, they call them, which means tough-hided. Tough skin. And the elephant has an ear bigger than everybody else. He can hear things that we can't hear. But did you know also that they can release a sound that we cannot hear? They can release a sound so low it's subsonic, it's below our hearing. But that elephant will release that sound, and every elephant within 30 miles will hear that sound. And when they hear that sound, they'll come to the sound. He sends out a sound, he just goes. See, y'all couldn't hear that. Ushers, watch the door. They'll show up any minute. But what do you do? They send out this subsonic, below hearing sound. When that sound goes forth, 30 miles, they say there's 100 elephants. This was the most incredible thing you ever seen in your life. To look here, all of them. And they will come running to that elephant that sent out the sound. And then they've got in a circle facing this elephant that sent out the sound. And he looked at all of them. They're standing there as if it were choreographed. He raises up his snout and goes, boom! When every elephant there started dancing. Boom! Boom! It looked like a cloud of mushroom cloud of smoke coming up off these elephants. Every one of them stomping. And they literally danced a hole in the ground. And the reason this whole thing happened is because with that elephant, that big old snout, the super sensitivity that he has, he smelled in this desert place, he smelled water down there in a stream of water that could not be seen. He sends out a call and they all come and they dance up that. There are wells that are hidden down there that has not been seen in our generation. And there's a call being sent out to those that have the ears to hear and a snout to smell. And the freedom to dance. You know? What a time to be alive, y'all. And, you know, there's a bunch of these I want to leave out. But of course, now, you know, think about this. We have to get a intercessory profile on something in our nation. Have you noticed that every April, a Hittite spirit is released against our nation? The word Hittite means fear, terror, and violence. Every April, it happens. Starting all the way back like Columbine. The last time our nation had this much fear gripping the culture was back in the days of Hitler. Who was not Hitler. His name was Heidler. His father, in coming into agreement with a Hittite spirit, changed the name to Hitler. And when they changed the name to Hitler, that Hittite spirit that they were able to dominate the nations of the earth with fear and terror and violence. And now, Columbine happens. Did you know Columbine was, it happened on Hitler's birthday? It was a celebration of his birthday, the whole Nazi, got all the stuff. And every year on the same week, all of this stuff happens like Columbine. And the thing in Oklahoma City, same week. And Koresh's dip. Just go on down the line. Always the same. This year, of course, what was it? Virginia Tech, same time. in a German class. Okay, and what does it do? It throws more fear and violence and terror back in to our culture. Again, it's a demonic thing. Now, we can stop that. Intercessors. Now you got insight and some revelation there. Next year in America, the thing is not going to happen. Because what we're going to do is we're going to come into agreement. You know what happened this year, though? Something a little different happened this year. Scientists, during that same week, discovered something they had never discovered before. They realized that the sun's atmosphere was singing and the sound reached the earth that week. Because now look, you know, they determined that the black holes were releasing a sound 257 octaves below middle C. There's a B flat that has come to the earth. That wave is moving so slow it only reaches this planet every 10,000 years, and you're sitting in one right now. And so when that sound of all of creation, even the heavens, groaning and travailing in intercession, and that sound reaches our generation when it gets here, and strangely enough, that thing reached the earth the night Johnny Cash went to heaven. I don't know what that has to do with anything, but the man in black checks out, and out of the black holes comes a sound, a groaning. You can, you know, take that as far as you want to. I don't care. But it's just a point. But now, the sun's atmosphere starts singing. And they determined that the corona belt functions exactly like a guitar string. And the solar flares that are happening in our general... Oh, you hearing all this about solar flares? It's solar flares that are hitting that corona belt and releasing a sound and a song, and the sun's atmosphere is singing to the earth right now, starting April. What a day to be alive. Sound barriers are being broken over nations right now. The things that have been barriers are now being broken. You know that the DNA is actually a musical decoding. They've determined that, you know, I can take your DNA and put in a computer and play it through that keyboard, and you can hear your song, and it's only your song. Nobody else has it like it. Your song is your song. Your song is your song. And you know, when they determined that, you know how they happened onto that? They were doing this study of genes and so on, and the little molecular makeup of a cell and all this, and they took the healthy skin cell of a healthy mouse, and they would start playing this sound that was coming forth out of it, and they realized it was a lively waltz. And they thought, well, look what we found. Then they took a cancer cell of a mouse, put it in there, and it plays Chopin's Nocturne 55, the funeral march, entire passages of it. And they said, my gosh, what in the world have we found here? And see, then you realize that Chopin died of a disease called consumption, because there was no cancer yet. They just called it consumption. And he wrote his own funeral song while he was under the influence of the sickness and the disease, and the cells of his the molecular makeup was singing. So when that song came forth, it was, well, you know what that tells us? Well, you sing what's in you. Garbage in, garbage out. Depression in, depression out. Joy in, joy, whatever it is. Whatever it is that you're embracing to your spirit shall be the vocabulary and the lyric of God coming forth out of your spirit. Lord, you are the strength of my life. You are my song. So we live in this incredible world that God has created for His purpose, for the purpose of worship. Now, okay, that's enough for 2 Kings 6. Let's go to another one. God's awesome. God's pretty awesome, ain't he? Can do all that stuff. You know, God is better at keeping you than Satan is at deceiving you. The enemy can no longer rob you of your song and put you in some state of depression, despair, despondency, or something that keeps you from having the song that is a part of your existence. And I just want to declare over every person here, let's get our song back. tonight we get our song back. Somebody is receiving the call right now. May there be an anointing that goes with it. I want to encourage you to start with releasing the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs of your life. That's a New Testament reality, is that we as the people of God function psalms, the canonical word of God set to music. Let that become a part of your vocabulary as you begin to sing again. The psalms, the word of God. Just open the word of God and just sing it every day. You know, David praised the Lord 7 times a day. He praised the Lord 7 times a day. And there's, strangely enough, there are 7 Hebrew words that give expression to that. But see, back then, what we think is we think that it was praise was treated then like it is now. Anytime you see the word praise on an overhead projector, it means have a good thought about God while you sing the song. And that's not the way it was then. When you see the word, then you didn't see the word praise on the overhead projector. Then it was a word that was declared, and it could have been Shabbat, which means to the shout of praise. And like in Psalm 145, it says, shout the mighty acts of God into the next generation. That's a powerful shout. That's more than, you know, oh, shout to the Lord all the earth. No, it was like all of Israel, let her rip, a shout, a roar came up out of God's people. When it said halal, it wasn't have a nice thought about God while you sing this song. It was rave and boast, be clamorously foolish, act madly. You can see a cloud of dust coming up because they didn't say praise. It said halal, yah. Now, the thing I want you to get right here, and all of them were the same way. You know what we're having made right now? I wish we'd had them here. We have blue stone necklaces we're making. And these blue stone necklaces, you wear them, and 7 times a day, all of a sudden, it goes, da, 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 which is, the heavens are open, I hear the sound, 24 elders cry. This sounds 7 times a day. It just reminds you that that's a part of your job as a Davidic generation. Right now, take a praise break. And you just praise it. See, David praised 7 times a day, and he prayed 3 times a day. But 7 times a day, he would just break into a spontaneous expression of praise. And it could have been a halal, a shabaka, a toda, a yada, or whatever it was. But when he lit into it, he had offices already created for the days of the Tabernacle of David, full-time thankers, full-time praisers, and full-time recorders. 1 Chronicles 16:4. So he had full-time thankers. Thank. He had full-time praisers. Full-time halalers. That's all it did. And he had full-time recorders. And here's the way the recorders work. I'm David. What's your name? Steve. Steve is a full-time recorder. So everywhere I go, I'm David, and I'll just break a hot dog for Jesus. Well, he writes every word down when this spontaneous song comes forth. When a tehillah praise ignites in me, his job is to make sure he catches every word, every lyric. And then I'd say, Steve, get this over to the chief musician, Bon Nehaloth, the flute song. And it has to be interpreted by the flutes. That's the only sound, the only texture and tone that will bring forth the prophetic dimension that will cause this word to be sown so deep into our culture and into the people of God that it'll be a part of the vocabulary of the next generation. Because every song that I sing during these 7 times a day of doing this, now that becomes a truth that will endure to all generations and give lyric to those that live anywhere around Coeur d'Alene, Idaho in the year 2007. They're going to need this as a part of the arsenal of their song coming forth. It'll change the atmosphere and keep an invasion of the enemy off of their lives and out of their families for an entire generation. And they get to walk and see and realize the fulfillment of the covenants that I have made with them and their fathers' fathers. See, so there was a weightiness of what a song was all about that we have forgotten about. Now it's, don't tell my heart, my icky, breaky heart. See what's happened? We've learned to appeal and appease one another's emotions and the silliness through the commercialization of music, and we've lost our song, that roar of our hearts under our God. It's just been diminished by a Philistine spirit that's all about self-promotion and so on. But see, then it was music was an entirely different thing then. You know, it was the sound of your being. I wish I had time to develop all that for you scientifically, because this is supposed to be sort of sciencey, but just take my word for it. But that's how the Psalms were born. And you know, to the chief musician on Neganoth, this is a guitar song. Or to the chief musician on Shoshani Duth, the trumpet section. But that's how the Psalms were born. And you know, to the chief musician on Neganoth, this is a guitar song. Or to the chief musician on Shoshani Duth, the trumpet section. Blare this thing into the next generation. Blare this thing into the heavens. And all of the Psalms were actually instructions for a generation as to how to release this sound that God would inhabit. And there's only one kind of praise that He inhabits. He responds to all demonstrations of praise, but the only one that He says He inhabits is the Tehillah, that spontaneous song of the Spirit coming forth. He enthrones Himself on that one. Man, what a God that will do that. Because see, if you remember, Satan was the anointed cherub that covereth the throne. But when the first worship leader decided he won't be as big as the first pastor, that was the first church split. He's out. Now he's left the throne uncovered. God said, no biggie. I'll create a generation in the earth and I will enthrone myself upon the praises of my people. So now we have a position he once had. No wonder he's trying to keep us from getting our song. Because the real us song is what God desires to enthrone himself upon. You talk and create a holy habitation for him. So, let me read y'all something. I shared some of this at the last Quantum Leaper deal. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of a different version of it. You know, when I was a pastor, I've been a pastor 3 times, and I'm not a good pastor, okay? And I've got references. I want you to know that. But when I was a pastor, we in our nursery, we had 3 categories. We had the sleepers, the creepers, and the leapers. And I thought it was great. But see, what we got right now identifying themselves in this region are the sleepers, the creepers, and the leapers. We've got to get out of the nursery. We've got to get out of that and get and quit being such creeps about it. Quit moving in arrogance because we know something. Quit walking in arrogance. It's not time for more arrogance and head knowledge. What God is really wanting to have is right now is the purity of our hearts. And He's going to turn us into the leapers. Those that by His grace we will leap over a tree. We will surpass the enemies of our generation and release something to the next one that we didn't have. Take them into a land. Take them into their desk. Take them into a part of the covenant blessing to the next generation, leapers. Now, in Psalm 148, you see, praise Yah, halal Yah. It says, praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, angels. Praise Him, hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, stars of light. I wish I had time to talk about all those for you, but here's what I want you to see. David was writing a song here, and he was giving it to a generation so that they could do what they were created to do. They were not just created just to worship God, but they were created to activate creation in worship. You hear that? This lyric was an activation of creation. So it wasn't like Steve is the worship leader and got some singers up here in the band that gives us all something that we can sing with. And no. Here are the worship leaders of an entire region. You want to start to move in some power and authority, go out and start leading. Go sit down and lead a stump in worship. Lead a creek in worship. Lead a river in worship. Lead the flowers in worship. Lead the leaves in worship. Man, you know, God has these incredible, unfathomable things in all of creation that we have been given opportunity to activate them in worship so that they're not continuing to have to travail and yearn and intercede wanting us to get it. We got it, and now we're leading them in worship rather than just the desperation of travail and groanings. We're also able to activate them, creation, in worship. Think about that. So go sit under a tree and lead it in worship. I mean, if we're going to do all this weird stuff when we come together, it'd be just fine to do even more weird stuff when we ain't together, don't you reckon? But God's wanting a yielded heart that will do something so insane as to live an existence out in the middle of isolation in a desert singing to a bunch of sheep until it's time. And that's what David did. He was just out there worshiping and engaging all of creation in worship because that was what was so much what was in him. And so then when he walked into an atmosphere where there's a loudmouthed giant walking in an opposite spirit, the contrast of that was incensed him and the passion rose up in him and he released a sound. When he released that sound, everything changed. Therefore, and he wrote songs about it the rest of his life. Remembering the day he released the rock of the salvation of Israel that released a generation into their destiny. God's ready for us to get into that place of worship like David did. If we're going to be a Davidic generation, we've got to have a Davidic heart. Think about just going and sitting under a tree and saying, singing the songs that releases the oxygen. You know why you can sit under a tree is so much cooler? Not because it's keeping the sun off of you. It's because leaves generate oxygen. And oxygen is heavier than the atmosphere. And so when you sit there, that oxygen comes down upon you and it can be 10, 15 degrees cooler. Not because you are guarded from the sun. It's because the oxygen that is being released out of those leaves are impacting the atmosphere that you're sitting in. So why don't we turn that into an atmosphere of worship? And guitar player, quit wanting his job in your church. Because he has a spiritual identity and an anointing and so on. That must be the ultimate goal in this spiritual atmosphere to get the accolades of man and so on and be considered spiritual and have a spiritual identity. You got to get that job. No, the job you got to get is worship. That's one. When I was with Morningstar, it's one thing I applaud Morningstar for, to hire worship leaders and tell them for the first year, you don't go to church, you don't go to a service, you don't do any office work, no administration stuff, no. For 1 year, you go up there in that mountain and you worship every day of your life for 1 year. And we'll pay you to do it. Now we know, why? Because we know that when you come off of that mountain, you'll produce a whole lot more fruit than you would over here trying to function in offices you're not even called to. Musicians, I challenge and charge every one of you to allow the vocabulary of God to begin to flow through your life and get your song back. Then when you come out, if you've been in a desert or in a place, in a season of isolation, when you come out, you're going to be carrying something. Mantles are being given unto this generation. Real mantles that have been, for seasons been gone. Real, honest to goodness mantles are being passed to this right now. And God, and here's the thing about it. When you know when God gives you a mantle, you know something? He'll only give it to those that knows that it's not for them. If there's a mantle passed to your life, it ain't for you. It's for those that God has given you that you can serve and bless and release them into their ministries. It's not so that you'll be the next star. The mantle is for a higher purpose than being the next Christian big shot. The mantle is a covering. And the mantle can be glory, but it's only as glorious as much as you give it away. But now when the song comes and the sound comes and the anointing comes and you take out the giant, first thing that's going to be asked is like Saul said, now whose boy are you? Whose boy are you? Where did you get that? The enemy might say, where did you get that? But you don't give energy to that. You go back and start worshiping. And God will put the people around your life then that'll worship and create a masa, prophetic mantle, burden around your this Holy Ghost bubble around you that cannot be penetrated by an enemy. Remember what happened with Saul and David. David's out there sitting around the campfire with his pickers. They're worshiping God. Why do we know that? Because that's all he did. He's sitting around there and they're releasing this anointing that was on their life, this mantle that was upon his life. And while they're singing and worshiping, Saul finds out where they are and he says, send the thugs over there. I know where he's at. And so the thugs come to abduct David and run in. Bang! They hit that bubble of anointing and they begin to prophesy too. Oh, send another one. Here they come. Whoa! They begin to prophesy too. No enemy invaders can invade that. Especially when there's a corporate synergy of worship around it. You see, this is a season for mantles, and that's what I want to pray tonight. Father, I ask you right now to release the mantles of authority upon this house. Lord God, we thank you that that boundless grace and unlimited creativity is there. But Lord God, I ask you now that the mantles that you have determined for every life here to carry, and I thank you, Lord, for a corporate mantle for this region. Lord, there's a sound that is to come out of here that penetrates the spirit realm of the nations. And Lord, I thank you for there are international harvesters that are sitting in this room right now. There are those that you will give a song or give a sound, and they'll be able to walk into an atmosphere somewhere in Lower Slobovia and just release a song, release the sound of their worship, and things will change in the atmospheres of those regions. I thank you, Lord, that we don't just get off into sensationalism and presumption, but you have a mantle, you have an anointing, and you have a fresh grace, and you have a fresh new day anointing that you want to release this weekend. And Lord, we don't just have services and conferences and miss it. Lord, I'm asking you right now for every life that is called to the nations, that this be to do something that only you can do right now. And Lord, release a download of your deposit in every life that is receiving that new day anointing as a result of getting their song back. And for even those that have been lost for generations, this is a season of redemption. And Lord, I thank you for the joy and the good time we've had and all that. But Lord, right now we release that anointing. Lord, we can just talk all night, but right now, Lord, I know you want to do something. I know you want to release something that is beyond preaching, that's beyond singing, beyond teaching, and beyond anything that's happened in this whole weekend. You want to do that, and so Lord, I invite you to do that right now in every life that is reaching out for that new anointing for their lives with the new sound, the new song, the new language, the new authority in the Spirit, the new grace for that new place. There are dozens of people that are in this room that will not live where you live right now in 3 weeks. Some of you... Every time I come up to this region, for some reason I start getting, in Montana I kept getting that. There are people, you right here, you're not even expecting it. Now, I didn't see that one coming. But there is such a shifting going on right now in the Spirit that some of you will even live in other nations 3 months from now. You'll live in other lands 3 months from now. And there are people right now in other lands that God's getting ready to bring in here so quickly. And when they come here, they're not going to be coming in a mess. They'll not come in a mess. They'll come as a message. And when they come here, it will be their new day destiny. But right now, there's a huge shifting taking place. 3 weeks and 3 months are very significant. I'd really start paying attention to the number 33. The number 33 is going to become it's one of those things. Pay attention to 33. I have a 1933 guitar. I have a 1933 watch. My father was born in 33. That's why I wear them. And I've never given this over to anybody, but I'm telling you right now, there's something about for those that were born in 1933 that are here, and that you have felt like you have retired from your ministries, or it's time to retire. And if you're from where I'm from, you retire. That means you put new ones on. Get the new tires on. Retire and refire. Because the road before you will be far more glorious than the road that's been behind you. And it's not over. And God's going to raise up great finishers. I just release a blessing on every person here that was born in 1933. I release a new day anointing, new day blessing on those that were born in 33. Anybody here born in 1933 that will admit it? God bless you back there. Anybody else? 1933. But for this whole house, I just want to say this. I would really encourage you to start looking at the year 1933. I don't know what all about 1933, but there's something in 33 that got lost in this region that's going to be restored now. And it was something that was very precious to God. And it was a part of the reason there's been so much fumbling and stumbling and clumsily trying to walk from transition to transition. Something was lost in 33, but the Lord is going to restore that mantle that was lost in this region in 1933. And for you that are born in 33, you are a part of that new day word, that new day anointing.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching. If you'd like to order additional copies, or if you'd like to view the many other prophetic resources available at the Elijah List, such as the monthly magazine, Elijah Reign, our first and best-selling music CD, He Reached Down, or Steve Schultz's brand new book, Can't You Talk Louder, God? We have ebooks, MP3 music downloads, and more. Simply log on to our website, www.elijahlist.com. That's ElijahList.com. Or call toll-free 866-354-5245. Or outside the U.S., call 541-926-3250. And join us again for another inspiring teaching from the Elijah List.